The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 15. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. And he said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I'd like to share a message with you from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbour as yourself." Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that we can love you because you have first loved us. Lord, as we hear this word and as we commence this new sermon series, help us by what we learn to draw closer to you in love. So bless your love of us and our love of you. Thank you that you have claimed us as your own, and we can say that you are ours. So bless our hearing of the word and our doing of it. In your name we pray. Amen. Today I'm going to start a short series of sermons interrupted by All Saints Day on November the 5th on the topic of sacred pathways, nine ways to connect with God. Now those of you with sharp memories might remember that that was actually the title of our Lent studies this year. And many who came along to our Lent studies received light bulb moments because of them. And they received the material with great enthusiasm because they discovered that there are more ways to connect with God other than just the daily quiet time. I floated the idea about a short sermon series and they responded enthusiastically and thought it would be good to share this information, this learning with all of the church. So, to sacred pathways, nine ways to connect with God. Now, for some Christians, the daily quiet time does not work. And so they feel guilty that they do not do the obligatory daily quiet time in Bible reading, devotion, reflection, and prayer. And because the two given Christian disciplines are that you attend worship on Sunday and that you nourish yourself through the week through the daily quiet time, But where did this quiet time come from? Well, proponents of the concept point to Jesus, that he often spent time alone in prayer. In Luke 5:16, it says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This was Jesus' quiet time, spending time in prayer and fellowship with God. Now, the first mention of this term quiet time was in the late 19th century. By the 1940s, the quiet time had supplanted the Keswick movement's concept of morning watch as the most widely used pattern for private prayer among evangelical Protestants. The concept of the morning watch was that you spent the first half hour of the day in petitionary prayer and prayer requests. But the quiet time brought in Bible study, meditation, and placed the emphasis on actually listening to God. And so there was still time for requests, but it had expanded to become Bible reading, prayers of praise, confession of sin, prayers of thanksgiving, and listening to God. The morning watch had become quieter, therefore the term quiet time. The real rise of the quiet time began with InterVarsity Christians Fellowship 1945 publication of the booklet Quiet Time. And this was popularized by InterVarsity among evangelical university students and other evangelical university ministries. It was adopted by Billy Graham in the late 1950s, and the quiet time then became the most popularly used Protestant devotional practice. While it may be this, for some, probably many Christians, it doesn't work. So it's either done poorly, quickly, or not at all, and all of which are guilt-producing. The author of the Sacred Pathways material, Gary Thomas, discovered that when he read the classics of Christian faith and studied church history and theology, there were different ways that people find their connection with God. Some do it by study, others by singing hymns and spiritual songs, others by dancing, some by playing music, some by walking in the forest or by the beach, others in silent meditation. People are different. Psychology has proven that. In the world of psychology, personality temperaments play an important role. Carl Jung developed four profiles that describe human nature that have been formulated into the Myers-Briggs personality profile. These profiles are extrovert or introvert, sensing or intuitive, thinking or feeling, judging or perceiving. And combination of these four profiles can create 16 different personality types. So by using biblical figures, historic church movements, and various personality temperaments, Gary Thomas identifies 9 sacred pathways. So what I want to begin this series by talking to you about today is, what is the sacred pathway? It is connecting with God. Now, Jesus had been debating with the Sadducees about marriage in heaven. And a teacher of the law, a Pharisee, came along and heard them debating and was impressed by what Jesus said. So he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. The first part is the famous, what we call in Hebrew, the Shema, the word for, the Hebrew word for hear. And the Jews recite this prayer twice a day, morning and evening, and at the time of death. It identifies who their God is, and therefore who they are as his people. The second part contains a summary of the 613 commandments of the Mosaic Law, that one must love the Lord God with every aspect of their being. The Shema states who God is, and loving God is the connection between us and him. It is the second part that particularly relates to the idea of a sacred pathway. The sacred pathway is your way of loving God in everyday life. Now, the command to love God illustrates the truth that God's special revelation in Christ demands an appropriate response, one in keeping with the character and essence of the God of love who reveals it. And there are four things that we can learn about love contained in these words: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The first thing is the personal emphasis. You shall love the Lord your God. Note the use of you and your. This brings out the necessity of the personal element. Only through personal faith in Jesus Christ does God become one's personal God. Then, by the daily expression of intimacy and faith and walk with Christ, he becomes my Lord, not merely known as an objective fact, but personally embraced in intimate fellowship. For each one of us, God makes us his own, and we make him our own. The second thing is the nature of love. Love is that special Greek word, agape, which denotes God's unique love for us. Agape is a love of intelligence and purpose, sacrifice and hard decisions. It's not some sickly, schmaltzy, sentimental, rosy glow kind of love, but a love that translates into hard decisions and sacrifice. Agape is a willful love, a determined love, that generously chooses for the interests of others. It is a love that grows out of the knowledge and experience of knowing the true God in all his grace, goodness, and greatness. You can't work up agape by emotional fervor. Some Christians do and think by this they love God. But agape is something far deeper. Thirdly, the source of this love, the words "with all your" is literally from the source of. With is the Greek preposition ek, which denotes origin. This is the point from which actions and emotions proceed. Love for God flows out of an inner life that is filled and controlled by a faith relationship with God through knowledge of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, the extent of this love is all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. All of every part of you. All means entire, whole, complete. All is the Greek word holos, from which we get the word holistic. We love God with our whole being. We cannot love two masters, as Jesus said in Matthew 6:24. You cannot serve God and money. Now, none of us have this kind of love. It's given to us by God as he loves us with that kind of perfect love. God loves all of you. Your heart, that is, your inner person. the core of your emotions and deepest desires, and for you to love him with all your heart means to set your affections on him, to let your passion for him be the driving force in your life, to let your affection for him ultimately determine your actions and pursuits in life. God loves your soul. The soul refers to the essence of your individuality, that which makes you, you. The soul is the fullness of yourself. To love God with your soul is to love God with your very self. To love God with all of you. And so it means total commitment. It means your will choosing for God each and every time. God loves your mind. Your mind involves your thought, intellect, and understanding, your ideas, viewpoint, and perspective on life. To love God with all your mind means to submit all of these things I have just mentioned to the Lordship of great Jesus Christ. And this means that we act not on how we feel or how we think, but in accordance with the Lordship of Jesus Christ revealed in Scripture. I need to say that God still loves your mind perfectly, even when it gets old or sick and doesn't work like it used to. You can still love God with what you have. God loves your strength. Your strength refers to your abilities, talents, gifts, and powers. Love for him with your strength means using those things mentioned to serve God and others in the church and in the community. He is to be the base and our reason for our being and our actions. Like it is with our mind, God still loves your strength perfectly when we get old and our bodies aren't as strong as they used to be, but you can still love him with what you have. Now, none of us can love God perfectly as he loves us. We don't have to feel guilty about that, though. That's why we call these sacred pathways. Sacred pathways. Because we're journeying along them. We are learning. We are forever wearing our L plates. So far in the sermon, we've learned what love of God is and what it means to love God. But the question is, how? How do we love God Monday to Saturday when we're not gathered here together as God's worshipping people? How do we worship God, connect with God, show our love for God, grow in our love for God Monday to Saturday when the traditional quiet time doesn't work for us? That's where the nine sacred pathways come in. Just as the Myers-Briggs personality type indicator shows us that there are different temperaments, the work that Gary Thomas has done shows us that there are different spiritual temperaments, and therefore there are different ways to experience and express God's love for you and your love for him. And if we choose the right one or the right two or three that match who we are, we can find much joy, growth, and love and life in our relationship with God Monday to Saturday. So let me briefly share with you what those nine pathways are. Firstly, the naturalist. Naturalists are those who love God outdoors. Number two, sensates. Sensates love God with all their senses. Number three, traditionalists. Traditionalists love God through ritual and symbol. Number four, ascetics. Ascetics love God in solitude and simplicity. Number 5, activists. Activists love God through confronting injustice. Number 6, caregivers. Caregivers love God by caring and loving and serving others. Enthusiasts love God with mystery and with celebration. Number 8, contemplatives. Contemplatives love God with mystery. Contemplatives love God through adoration. And number 9, intellectuals. Intellectuals love God with their mind. So in the next 3 sermons, what I'm going to do is take 3 of the pathways and share with you more deeply about each one. And at the end, you will have the opportunity to do a take-home test, which will help you discover what your pathway or pathways are, which will help you to grow in your experience of the love of God and expression of the love of God. But let me say that the sacred pathway is not to be taken in isolation from the church community. Monday to Saturday, you walk your sacred pathway or ways, and on Sunday, you come together as God's people to worship God in community and receive the means of grace. You may be a naturalist who feels closer to God out in the bush, but this doesn't mean that you give up on Sunday worship. It's not an either-or, but a both-and. Journeying the sacred pathway, though, is not all about me and God. There's too much individualism in Christianity today. The fruit of a good sacred pathway journey is what Jesus goes on to say, love your neighbour as yourself. Edward Schweitzer, in his commentary on Mark, writes this: it is impossible to keep the first commandment unless one lives according to the second. When Mark introduces it expressly as a second commandment, he does so in order to indicate the proper sequence. Though love for God is something concrete and can only be experienced as one exercises love for neighbour, still everything depends upon the recognition that the latter becomes possible only on the basis of the former. Love for God is the first thing that will be revealed to others by love for one's neighbour. So journeying along your own particular sacred pathway is about connecting with God. It's about living the Jesus life and loving God as he loves you and sharing the Jesus life by serving others as God has served you. And that is surely a pathway worth travelling. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for your great love of us, and we thank you that you call us along the sacred pathway of love to you. Lord, as we move through this sermon series, help us to grow more in our understanding about ourselves, how you have wired us, and how you are calling us to live Monday to Saturday. So thank you, Lord, for your love that you have reached out to give us by your great grace. We love you and praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.